In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Tonight, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Pray, cry unto God from the depths of your heart. I realize that I can be better than I am. Change my mindset. Show me something tonight that will empower me. Said, write prosperously because of truth. Write prosperously because of truth. Wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, let knowledge empower us tonight. Give us accuracy over our lives and destinies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Walk up to 20 people, give them a big hug and tell them it's good to see you again. You heard the testimony of our sister. Be generous about it. Outside, God is watching you, and we're watching too. You don't need to know them, just tell them it's good to see you anyway. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Some of you, this is the part you don't want to recover from. Sit down, take out your writing materials, and let's get to work. Hallelujah. Tonight's teaching will make you wise. Absolutely. Absolutely. Will make you wise. Shibalakatayaba. It's the end of the year. We need some wisdom. You know, one of the beautiful things about a balanced Christian life is that God gives you the ability to be wise both in the church and in the society. Gone are the days where believers are intelligent in the church and daft people outside. In Jesus' name. Those days are gone, gone for good. So we have believers who are smart in the church, and then when it comes to the dealings of our lives outside, what I'm going to share with you is very powerful. Psalms 141, please. Psalms 141 from verse 2 to 4. I want to share with us tonight something about associations, relationships, and the prophetic significance of having people around your life. It's a very powerful teaching. Just listen, because truly it will make you wise. Bishop Oyedepo was asked, what's the greatest asset in your life? And he said, people. And they asked him, what's the greatest catastrophe in your life? He said, people. Hallelujah. So on one side, people have been instrumental, and then to the other side, you know, both sides of the pendulum having people will discuss something very powerful. Hallelujah. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works. With who? With men that walk iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties, their delicacies. This is a prayer of the psalmist. He's praying and said, let my prayers be like the morning sacrifice and the lifting up of my hands and so on and so forth. He said, Lord, this my big mouth, put a gate on it. Put a gate on my mouth. Set a watch over my mouth. He said, let me not get into the midst of certain people and be involved in certain things by reason of their association, and then eat of their error, their mistakes, and receive their own results. Listen to me. Let me start by saying, you are not truly born again if your salvation does not change your association. Your salvation is highly questionable when your friends before and after still remain the same, especially when they are not changed. See, I'm not one of those kinds of people that advocate a Christianity without transformation. I don't believe that. If the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon a sick person and the person gets healed, then what should happen if that power comes upon the soul of a sinner? Are you getting my point? There should be noticeable transformation. That Christianity where what you used to do before you got born again and what you still do after you get born again, nothing. There's no conscience, no transformation. Please throw that kind of revelation out of the window, because it will not produce powerful men and women. It's either it did not happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or it happened with results. Look at our brother, look at our sister. These are people, you can look at their lives today and you can see what God has done. You can relate to it. Hallelujah. Your associations. The associations that we keep in our lives have a prophetic significance, both spiritually and physically. I want you to know this. Great men in life have been products of correct associations. And certain failures in life have also been products of associations. There are some of us that we never would have gotten into certain things except that we met some people. Is that true? Their presence opened up to the possibility of certain things, good or bad. There are certain people that it was when you encountered a group of people that something began to change in your life. Are you following me now? So human beings have a prophetic influence upon your life and destiny, whether you realize it or not. The Bible says, do not be deceived. He said, bad company can corrupt good morals. It can have an influence on you. Hallelujah. And many of us will be traveling, I'm sure, in a few weeks from now, going home, going to do a lot of things, and there are all kinds of associations waiting for us. Is that true? When you used to smoke, you were the Capone among them. Now you are born again, but they are still alive. And they look forward to your coming. They've kept the one from September to this. They packaged it They've packaged it intentionally to honor you. Intentionally. I will lay down my idols and thrones I have made, and all that has taken my heart, Lord, I will bow. I will bow to you, to no other God but you. I want you to know that all men are not the same. I've said it and I'll repeat it again and again. All men are not the same. Among other reasons, this very one I'm about to tell you is the reason why all men are not the same. Aside from revelation that has separated us, every individual carries a prophetic atmosphere. Please listen. Every individual upon the surface of this earth, please write it down, carries a prophetic atmosphere. And the atmosphere you carry can influence the people around you and the atmosphere of others that you permit into your life can influence you. At every given point in anyone's life, we are being influenced by external forces at every given time. Either the spirit of the living God or another strange spirit. There is no point in a human life where you are neutral. It's not true. It's not true. At every given point, if God will open your eyes to the realm of the spirit, you will see that there is constant spiritual activity upon the earth. Whether the Holy Spirit, angels, saints, demons, principalities, human spirits, and so on and so forth. There are all kinds of prophetic activities happening. Are you learning something tonight? All people are not equal because we carry distinct prophetic atmospheres. Distinct prophetic atmospheres. Many things happen in our lives on the strength of the kind of atmosphere that we create. There is an atmosphere that can make maize to grow. Is that true? There is an atmosphere that can make yam to grow. There is an atmosphere that can make all kinds of things to grow. There are certain atmospheres that kill them. I've seen all kinds of things happen in people's lives. And I can trace those happenings directly to the entrance of a man or a people into their lives. There are certain people that certain circles of sorrow in their lives started when they gave access to certain individuals. Are you learning something? There are many men of God that started dying when they got into certain associations sincerely. Some of them started well. They had genuine fire. Genuine grace. There are many church members who, when they started exposing themselves to certain atmospheres, it started having prophetic implications upon them. You hear people testify that they came to the prayer department and an atmosphere. Something happens. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Very important. If you have never been told this, I want you to know that there is a spiritual dimension to friendship and associations. It can affect you. The quality of your life and your Christian experience has a lot to do with your association. The Bible says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise." The association, the atmosphere that they bring into his life will produce wisdom. Meaning he who walks with fools will be foolish. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying now? many of us in church have not paid attention to our environment. We have paid attention to our spirit man. We have paid attention to our mind. But we have refused to see that certain associations can affect us. We have ignored our associations to our detriment. Some of us, because of the pressure of trying to make sure that you are friends to everybody. Is that not true? Many of us are under pressure. We don't want criticism. Don't talk about me. Don't say I'm a snobby person and so on and so forth. And so your answer is yes to every and anybody. Everybody hops in and out of your life, bringing in their atmospheres and writing all kinds of things upon your spirit. I want you to know that love is a command. Association is not. When God wants to lift a man from his dimension to a great one, he sends a person or an association to him. When Satan wants to destroy a man, a family, a church, a people, he sends an association to them. Some of our parents were doing well until they met somebody they called their friend. You know those funny friends? They always know when to come. The moment there is a breakthrough, they are invited. There are spirits that force them to come. Their entrance into that family must make sure something goes wrong. Every time your father is trying to make peace with your mother and reconcile, there they come again. With their prophetic atmospheres of curses, yokes, family altars that they transfer. And listen, many people just delve into atmospheres and find out that things start changing. Have you had people say, when so-so-so person comes to me, things begin to happen? There are certain people that come into your life and a cycle of tragedies begin. You can't tell why. The people are innocent, but they are carrying an atmosphere that needs to be changed. Question. Jonah chapter 1. What did the people in the boat do against God? Did they offend him? But a man who violated the principles of God, he had the curse of God upon his life. Although he was a prophet, he went and took his atmosphere inside the boat, and what happened? They lost their properties. Is that true? They had to say, what is all this? We've been having peace sailing in this part of the shore. What is going on? And they said, let's cast lots. They casted lots and they said, Jonah, what is this? He said, it's true, I'm the one. My atmosphere has interrupted your progress. My presence in this boat. He said, I know you love me, but if you want peace, don't pray for me. Take me out of the boat. There are certain people you don't pray for. You pray from a distance. You get out of that atmosphere first for your freedom. Some of you have been praying about certain things. Notice when God is supposed to lift you, some atmospheres come again. It is their coming that brings you back to certain things. There's a guy who used to sleep with you when you were not born again. Now you are born again and you love God. You started sensing in your spirit that the Holy Ghost is doing something. There his call comes again. Darling, see that? Now, he just felt he wants to talk with you, but there are forces compelling him. Atmosphere. Atmosphere. Are you learning what I'm saying? There are certain students that were doing exceptionally well. You study and you understand. You study and things happen to you. You seemingly join certain students and some things started happening to you. I wish what I were saying were not true. But let me tell you, it's the truth from the Bible. I told you tonight's teaching will make you wise. It said, be wise as serpents and be gentle as doves. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have seen two snakes moving together? Have you ever seen it? Two snakes. You've seen two goats. You've seen two cows. How many of you have seen two snakes move together? Does it mean they don't have a family? The Bible says be wise. When the Bible tells you be as wise as a serpent, study it. You never see a serpent, even if they are in a group. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. Somebody's breakthrough. Hallelujah. In my little life and in my experience, I have found out that if a man does not set a guard over his atmosphere, there are people you told something to that started wrecking your life. It was them that carried that whole news. You opened your mouth without restraint and it fell into an ear that should not hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me not run ahead of myself. There are three levels of relationships in any man's life. Relationships slash association. Three levels. I was teaching a lady this morning and I was telling her this. Number one is what I call general relationships. Everyone shout it. Three levels of relationship if you want to excel in life. I'm teaching you this. When you become a leader, don't be a fool. There are three levels of relationships. The first level is general relationships. Everybody say general relationship. Outer court. You are friends to everyone. Anyone can hug you. How are you? Nice hair. Fine. There are some of you, someone, you meet someone and in 5 minutes, you've told the person everything about your life. Including the person you like. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Ah, my name is this. Your hair is nice. That's how the other day, you know Grace. Now, say, I don't know Grace. Say, one Grace came and then this and that happened. 5 minutes. You've given somebody an unlimited access to your destiny. Bible says, be wise as serpents. Oh, I'm seated with Christ. Be wise. The Bible says, be wise. The Bible says, Mary kept these things to herself. When the angel spoke to her, she knew at that time, the persecution would be unbearable if she opened her mouth. So she secured her destiny by keeping quiet. General relationships. This involves your love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the general public. The access that you give people. That's the general love that you show people. Love all men. Honor all men. General relationships. Like we're coming for Koinonia now, you know, and all of that. You can go out and see somebody, believer or unbeliever. Can just greet the person, how are you? The man who sells meat in the market for you. All those kinds of people, general relationships. But there is a second level of relationship. It's called family relationships. Family relationships. Both your physical and spiritual family. That is a much closer level of relationship. There are certain things that you can be able to communicate in church that you cannot say outside because of the level. There, in Koinonia right now, for instance, this is a family. So there is a relationship, there is a bond that is between the workers. Is that true? That may not be elsewhere. There is a bond between your family members. So you are comfortable to share certain things. There are some things you cannot tell a market woman that you can be free and open enough. Is that true? For instance, a lady may not be able to just walk to the street and tell somebody, I have a lump on my breast. It may look embarrassing. But as a family here, it is possible that a word can come. There is a lady with a lump and she can come out. There's nothing embarrassing about it. Is that true? Because of the level of relationship. If I cast out a demon out of somebody, Pastor Femi or something, there's nothing embarrassing about it because we are a family. Are you getting my point? If I rebuke this lady right now, we are a family. There's nothing embarrassing about it. Are you getting my point? But there is a third level of relationship. It's called destiny relationships. Destiny relationships. He'll lead me and guide me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny. He lead me and guide me to the city up above. He lead me and guide me. For the last time now, sing it as a prophecy. Lord, you lead me and guide me to the city up above. There are seven things. One day I will share it with you. Seven things that God told me, if I keep these seven things, I will be an unlimited person in my life. Seven instructions he gave me. Seven. Before God will release me to begin to do ministry, he gave me seven things. And by the grace of God Almighty, I have kept every one of those things. See, let me tell you, behind every great anointing, there is a mystery. It's not accessible to everyone. Hallelujah. Different levels. Some of you, you believe everybody should have a destiny relationship with you. Wrong, sir. So the things that are meant for destiny, you bring out cheaply to everybody in the name of friendship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look, learn. If you learn what I'm sharing with you, you will excel. Many of you, it's not that God does not want to hear you. There is a dimension of wisdom that you are missing. Write this down. Do not give everyone access to your life at the same level. It's a rule you must keep if you want to be great. Not everyone qualifies for access to your life at the same level. You must separate your life and your destiny into cadres. There are certain people that should only stay within the vicinity of the outer court of your life. They have no business passing beyond the outer court. That's why the tabernacle and the Bible says, know ye not that your body, you are a temple. Meaning in the similitude of that outer, inner, most holy court. There is a separation. There are people who should stop. Not everyone went to the most holy place. The outer court was a general place. Any Tom, Dick and Harry could come there. Whether born again or not. All kinds of things happened there. But when you enter the inner court, you met the seven lampstands. The seven spirits of God. Discernment. You saw the table of shewbread that was changed every day. The word of God. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? You cannot afford to be friends to everybody. There are many of us who are so weak-willed. We are friends to everybody. When God has spoken to you about certain associations, cut away from them. Say, yeah, but this and that and that. And let me tell you, when God gives you an instruction and you refuse to obey, you won't hear his voice again. You will hear many other voices, but your next instruction is at the mercy of your last obedience. If God doesn't speak, many other things will speak. You will talk too. Huh? The mind of your desire and passion will talk, and you will think it's God. God talks to you at the frequency of your yieldedness and obedience. Many people who are disobedient believers and claim they are hearing God fluently, I have a problem with that. Son of man, prophesy! And he kept quiet. And then he said, I obeyed as I was commanded. Then another instruction came. Son of man, now speak to these bones. It came one at a time and it depended on the obedience of Ezekiel. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 21 verse 2. 1 Samuel 21 verse 2. Media, help us please. So this is a rule you must learn in life and about relationships. Do not give everyone access to your life at the same level. Please learn this. Learn this. You cannot afford. There are some of us, people come to our house, visitors. In 5 minutes, they are in your bedroom. When my wife wants to dress, this is where she stands. And there's a particular cup. Hold on, I will show you. Have you seen our parents do that? A visitor comes to the house, say, come. There's something you must see. We have a boy scouters. It doesn't stop here. And the man is watching. And he says, sir, I am an importer and exporter. There are many things that I can do. How can I come into this? And in 2 days, you meet a strange man. You have struck a business deal with the man. Is that true? You have given all your children and the cars as collateral. An association that began the cycle of poverty and penury in many families because of the carelessness of many of our parents. Hallelujah. A woman, you meet somebody and in 5 minutes, she knows the names of all your children. She knows the name of everybody. She even knows the challenge between you and your husband. I tell you, any lady that does that, you are a bad lady. You don't have virtue. that you sit down and lambast your husband in the middle, in the face of a stranger. At once. In 5 minutes, he already knows everything about you. He knows that, okay, there is a problem in your family. He knows that your first child is stubborn. You know that the second one is better than the third one. What did the person tell you about his own life? And those people just keep quiet. They keep saying, really? While you are lying and you are just continuing. And then 5 minutes later, you find out that somebody calls you and say, you mean you said this about me? I'm disappointed. You say, no. You can't call those words back because they fell into the wrong ears. You gave an uncommon access to a common friend. Are we learning something? 1 Samuel 21, verse 2. I like us to read this projected. One to read. And David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king had commanded me a business and had said unto me, what? Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. He said, I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. The king, wanting to do something, he knew that they were wicked people. The king was wise enough to know that not everybody is a loyalist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The king knew that there are people who can kill him if they want to kill him. There are people who can do this, and he found a man, David. Look at the level of relationship. He told David the secret. And he said, I have already sent some people to wait for you. Go and meet them there. Between you and them, nobody must hear this. The gift of uncommon access. There are people who telling them anything about your life is the same thing as going to the radio station. Because immediately you tell them, in 20 minutes they've told 20 people and told the 20 people, don't tell anybody. And the other people will run and say, I don't know you, or if they, I have never seen you. Let me tell you something about people. Most people will come into your life not because of who you are, but what they can get from you. Let me tell you, 95% of the people you will meet in your lifetime, and I say this without exaggeration, 95% of the, in church, in koinonia, everywhere, 95% of the people you will meet. Many of you love me today because of the spiritual impact. May God forbid, but if there is ever anything and they say there is a scandal between Joshua Selman and Zuera, you see, I've always suspected. You see that? The same people who say he's the king of kings, this is my leader, I love him. Genuine people are scarce. Say it after me. Let me tell you something. Don't be deceived just by church, suits, pastor, apostle. Genuine people are scarce. If you find 5 of them in your lifetime, you are the most fortunate person. I'm in ministry, I can tell you this. Genuine people are scarce. That a man prays with you does not make him genuine. Integrity is a rare virtue. Purity and sincerity, a state of truth, truism. Oh, there are very few people that have that thing. How many people can look at Sheyi and say, Sheyi, I love you. Immediately she closes the door. They say, truly from my heart, I love you. Just close it. I just did. Let her go. Let's continue talking. Christians. In my life, I want to be sincere with you. In my life, I've not met more than 11 of these people as a leader. Not. Oh, I've seen all kinds. You don't want to know what people do to me. You know, I've worked with a lot of people. 5,000 people wanted to make Jesus king the next day because they ate bread. Say bread. Who will not chase you if they will get free bread? And freedom from this wicked Roman, a man who brought money out of a fish mouth, why wouldn't you want to be his friend? But the moment they held Jesus Christ, see, the true proof of the quality of your association is when things are going bad in your life. That's why challenges are very important. Challenges purge your relationships. While Judas was looking at Jesus, Judas was just imagining,
How can I allow this man to just go like that? Judas was not necessarily a bad man. He just was not a sincere person. He wanted to do business with Jesus. That's all. Make money with his anointing. And it just happened that it backfired. That's why he didn't do anything with the money. Bought a place and hung himself. Are we learning something tonight? The king told David, be quiet. And David was faithful. Listen, how many of you in this place, don't lift your hands, can say I am dependable and reliable? When the Holy Spirit was talking to me about this, I felt like dying. You know, I told you how God deals with me. I'll finish preaching first and then go back and say, you're finished, Abi. Oh yeah, enter. And he closes the door and now I receive my own flogging out of all of this. How many of you can say I am genuine? You can trust me with an information and I will not disappoint you. I tell you, 95% of those who want to lift their hands now are liars. If you try, that's why I'm saying save yourself from more sin, because we are going to repent after this whole session. Hallelujah. Do you know that genuine people are scarce? Genuine people, true people, not holy people, not tongue talkers, genuine people. You can look at a man and see the purity of his spirit. That a man is pure. If he tells you God bless you, he truly meant God bless you. No strings attached. Genuinely. If you are wrong, he says, truly you offended me. I'm not happy. And you say, I've forgiven you. And he meant, uncommon people. If I find a genuine man in my life, I can pay him 1 million naira per month to stay with me. That's how desperate I search for genuine people. Amazing. I know people today who are the personal PAs of great men, not because of what their degree gave them. Their sincerity earned them a position that degree could not give them. I prefer a faithful person to a gifted person. Part of the questions for the School of Ministry exam is for them to explain the statement, a gifted rebel is not an asset. No matter how gifted you are, look at Jesus. When it was time for Jesus to choose men, look at the kinds of people he chose. Are you seeing that? Look at the sincerity. Jesus went to a woman who had 7 husbands. And although physically speaking, her life was messed up, he saw that this was a genuine woman. He sat with her because he saw her sincerity. Are you getting blessed? Matthew Levi, in our world, would have been called a dubious 419er. Is that true? Yahoo person. But Matthew Levi, when he met Jesus Christ, something happened to him. How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus. So in the midst of his corruption, he was just doing it because, maybe out of pressure, but from his heart, he was true. When he climbed to see Jesus and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, it's your house I'm going. I've seen something in you. And immediately he went. What did he say? He carried all the money of all the people. I will restore the tax that I collected on duty. Sincere people. In your lifetime, I'm telling you this. Be careful when people clap for you and say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because when things go wrong, they will shout crucify him. They will say it to your face. I'm the one saying it. Eben, it's me. Crucify her. Many of us have not learned that wickedness is real. We have not been trained to be wise. Are you getting me now? You see some of our parents do some things that look childish. And to us, we just feel, come on, what's there? Because a guy comes to Koinonia, he just invites you. He says, come to my house, can come spend weekend. Say, oh, I know, you are a clean brother. Really? Based on what? Where did you get that instruction? Are you getting blessed? You must not give everybody the same access to your life. Number 2, learn to keep secrets until the time is due and the atmosphere is right to speak. You don't have to say everything happening in your life at the moment. You must first and foremost wait until there is a due season. Not every information is for everybody. And I say this especially for many of us who have very strong family ties. If you hit your leg, even your uncle in the village must hear that they hit your leg. And everybody calls in concert and says sorry. You have headache, before you know it, your extended, your third cousins have heard that you have small headache. That kind of life will land you in misery. And Mary kept these things to herself. He says, set a watch over my mouth. This mouth has landed me in trouble. The Bible says, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You have roommates. God is doing something in your house. But you went about telling people how everything is bad about your house. Now God is changing your house. But the impression they are spreading around is that your house is a grave. Jesus died, but how many days did he die? 3 days. Some people were busy spreading rumors. You know that Jesus is dead, whereas he had resurrected. And Jesus looked at them. There are certain people you were not supposed to share your past with. Because you cried that day, you told them everything. And now have a little quarrel and they say, I will disgrace you here. You know me. I forget about any coin. I will disgrace you here. Koinonia word. Go and tell Apostle, I will disgrace you here. Who is it that used to collect money from Adamu? And you see, and you are standing there. You are changed. But you kept an association and gave them an access that is destroying your life. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Very important. In ancient times, when they wanted a king to reveal his secret, they would find a beautiful lady and she would seduce the king. And then he would drink wine and take wine and take wine, and then she would lure him to sleep with her. And then he would ask, she will ask him all kinds of questions. That's what Delilah did to Samson. Because Samson knew this rule. Manoah had been given an instruction. And she came. What is, as long as he kept that secret, he dominated. His rulership as a judge in Israel was at the mercy of his keeping distant relationships. The Philistines saw him, general relationships. They wanted to know, how do we access this guy? Men of God, be careful with women. Let me warn you again. Emoji! Be careful with women. Every lady you see, you are giving a prophetic word. You just see her, sweetheart, I have a prophetic word that is personal to just continue. God is watching and destiny is watching. One day, you will wake up like who? Like Samson. And you find out that your glory. I'm not saying ladies are evil, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying be wise. Hallelujah. Be wise. Be wise. Somebody came quietly and you say, do you know that this phone is 250,000? Let me see it. And then in the evening you don't find the phone again. You say, I'm suspecting this person. Whether you are suspecting or not, it's gone. Do you know that my father sends me 100,000 every month? My father is a senator. Are you aware? And this, somebody just entered the room now. In fact, my father wants to campaign for this and that and that. Say, oh, really? The person may be sincere, but the Bible says the birds of the air have picked it. Prophetic atmospheres. Am I blessing you? Do you know that Godwin is going to marry me? The way he has been looking at me, he sent me a text. Come and even see the text. And the other lady said, let me see. You mean it's Godwin? You say, okay. 2 days later, Godwin doesn't call again. 1 week later, Godwin doesn't call. And he calls and says, sorry, this marriage cannot work again. Because somebody went and said, let me tell you about this lady. It's not like I hate her. Oh, let me just tell you the truth. This lady you are seeing, Abba, Yusuf, You have paid the price for your destiny. You deserve a consolation. Like all kinds of stories. And now the person waters down this lady. The lady may be doing it sincerely, but there is a prophetic atmosphere compelling her to do what she's doing. Have you not seen that some of your friends join some associations and all of a sudden you start seeing certain things in them? Anger, pride. You understand? Somebody who used to greet you all of a sudden now looks at you. Femi, how are you? I hear you're a pastor now. Give me 5 jari. And you are wondering. I've seen all kinds of people. I've seen people who would have seen me before and say, good afternoon, sir. Not because it does anything to me. Today they just see me and the way they pretend as if they don't see an apostle. Sanufa. Ah. And you expose yourself to atmospheres that rape morality out of your life. You expose yourself to atmospheres. Some of you were respecting your parents until somebody told you something. He said, continue behaving like a vegetable there. Let them push you to do everything. How about yourself? One day, give it to them. And that day, come now. Your father will talk and say, Daddy, it's not like I can't do anything. I'm just telling you now, don't try me. From that day, no allowance. They drove you out of the house prematurely. And the friend who advocated that foolishness is sleeping under AC. And he's leaving you to pay the price of lack of wisdom. It's amazing that when people get you into trouble, they will tell you, get into trouble. When you get there, they'll call everybody, come and see the trouble he has entered. Genuine people are scarce. Learn this. Genuine people, I'm not teaching you to just be suspicious and to be cynical, but I'm telling you at the back of your mind, you must know the informations about your life and destiny that is for public consumption. Don't tell anybody it's nonsense. Don't tell anybody. When words leave you, you can't buy them back. They are gone. And sometimes they can produce more disaster than you planned for. Number 3, gain mastery over your tongue. Psalm 39 verse 1. You must gain mastery over your tongue. Many of us, the devil in our life is our tongue, our words. You say everything to anybody. Informations that should not go out, go out. There are many married people. Okay, you got married. 2, 3, 4 months you could not take in. Everybody in your community has known that is 4 months and you could not take in. What sort of person are you? Everybody, you just see them. See, oh, I went to the hospital and they said, my husband, blah, 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 blah. Do you know that my husband, this and that and that? Please, which pastor do you know to help my husband? Because, guy, if I depend on this man, we'll have a child. In the name of looking for help. Many of us run helter-skelter. Small headache, you go everywhere. And then it's a painful thing to listen to a man who you think can solve your problem. And then open up everything and at the end he says, sorry, I can't help you. But he has had the information. Do people qualify for access to your life? Or do you just open up your gate? A man who has no control over his spirit is like a city. Hallelujah. Is God giving us wisdom tonight? You must know when to speak. You must know when to speak. And there are some of us who are under all kinds of pressure from our friends. Tell us now. Everything, tell us. Hallelujah. One time I was going to counsel a lady and she had something, a condition that was a bit challenging. And I don't know who she told. Very surprising. She was coming for counseling and the friend sent me a text. Sir, so-so-so person is going to come for counseling. She most likely may not tell you she has this. But I'm telling you just to help you. She has this and that and that and it's a serious condition. Please, probe her. Just make it look like I didn't tell you anything. I'm telling you the truth. Just para. And then when this lady came, the first thing she did was to tell me that thing. And I said, what if I were a wicked man? I'm sure that she innocently trusted that person with some information. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Please be wise. Please be wise. In this wicked Nigeria, please be wise. Be very wise. When you find out that all of a sudden, assassins come to a house and rob the place, did they just guess? Men who don't keep quiet. Some of our parents, when they are calling from upstairs and boys' quarters, you hear them, "Hello, Sam, how are you? Has the 10 million come?" "No, no, 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 it has to be 10. I can't take anything. 10, it must be cash. 2 million is here, 5, and somebody is hearing, and those spirits are moving them. Saying, "Arise, pursue." And he's talking. And all of a sudden, he will go somewhere, and then in the midst of it, you find out that something will fail. Somebody will all of a sudden come and say, "Sir, daddy, we have a little problem. Oh, honestly, we need 1 million. And he said, "Kai, there's not much." I said, "Daddy, the Bible says this and that." Because you now betrayed the whole family because you cannot keep quiet. Two of my daughters are getting married. I met this man of God, and the man is powerful. I even planned to meet him because my wife has been complaining. It's like she has an infection or something like that. I think so. I don't really know what has been happening to her this day. You are talking on phone, shouting everything, and your wife is there embarrassed. And people are passing. Mommy has what? What did we hear? Set a guard. It says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Are you seeing that scripture? Whenever I see a wicked man before me, I will keep my mouth shut. Because I realize, may your enemy not get to your place of breakthrough before you. There are certain things. Terrorists. One of the classic intelligence of terrorists is that they reveal informations based on your cadre and as the assignment comes. So if you ask terrorists what is the next thing, they don't know. Because the man already knows that he's working with wicked people. So anything can happen. Hallelujah. There are all kinds of people that have gotten into trouble because of their mouth. He says, "I will keep my mouth with a what? A bridle." What you use to tie a horse's mouth. Especially when I stand before the presence of wicked people. You went to your village. The next thing you are shouting everything. "My jeep is coming back from this and that." And somebody said, "Really? What color? Blue? What type? Highlander?" And you just hear customs. They will call you. They say they've held it in Lagos. Welcome to the consequences of not keeping your mouth shut. That's why talkatives are not my friends at all. I have a serious problem with people who just run their mouth anyhow. There are people who come for counseling. I was sharing with some ladies. Immediately they come in. "Ah, Apostle, Kai, this room is nice. You have wine. See, plenty wine. Ah, you are enjoying, no, Apostle. I'm afraid of that. You will never be my friend. I don't trust you in any way whatsoever." Very unapologetic about what I just said. I don't trust you. People, Peter was like that. "Oh, Jesus, you will not wash my feet." He said, "Calm down." He said, "Bath me." In how many minutes? You refuse Jesus from washing. Those kinds of emotional, when people are not emotionally stable, they should have no access to your secret place. You can't call those people destiny associations. Destiny associations are the people that you come and talk to, and they build you. And you tell the person, "Look, I found out I've started having lust for women." And the person says, "Look, I've been sensing this atmosphere of lust. Let's pray. Don't worry. Remember that word God gave you. I believe in you." Your pain becomes their pain. They cry your cry, even when it does not concern them. They go all out of their way. They love you genuinely. When all men leave you, they will be there. They don't look like it. Some of them didn't go to school. But when all the nice people leave you, you will see them there. They are the friends that stick closer. As I'm speaking now, God is ministering to some of us. You are at a point in your life where the people who loved you are the ones who have stabbed you now. and you are sitting down wounded, and the person you thought nothing good would come out of is the only person you are meeting now. And he says, well, if you can believe me, I can help you. When you find the gift of genuine men, don't be embarrassed to keep that relationship. If it makes you a fool to keep it, do it. Genuinely. My neighbor has one friend. I've seen all kinds of people come to her. There are friends that only come when she brings clothes from Lagos. As soon as it lands, you see them. And you know how ladies do all their talk. And in my mind, I'm in my room. Just saying, this is exactly the kind of attitude that people have. There are people you see in church when they buy new equipment. You see them for 1 month. Instrumentalists. As soon as they buy new equipment, they want to come and see what's the happening thing. I can play guitar. I can play this. After 1 month, they like new things. When a man of God gets married, the solidarity around that, they like new things. Once it goes old a little, they are searching for something else. That's how they marry a lady. After 3 years, they look for another new one. After 3 years, they look for another new one, because there is a force that compels them to behave like that. There was a time my neighbor went through a very tragic event in her life. The miracle that she shared about fibroid. The fibroid situation was so serious. She was so... I can't begin to describe details for you. But then she brought a jerry can of water. She shared it. That's why I'm comfortable to share it here. I prayed on it and I told her, keep taking it. And the fibroid started cutting. Supernaturally. I saw people who used to come around. They ran away from her. Men. Brothers. They ran away. Church people who used to come. They will come and cook food. The sister can cook for you. But the day she just tells you, sorry, I wanted to tell you something. They said I have a problem with one side of my womb. Say, ah, really? Since when? Whereas the brother said, look, let me tell you, not to love you is like not breathing. All of those lies that people bring. Huh? And then they finish telling you that, and the guy looks at you and says, look, I love all of you. The lady say, all of me. Say, yes. Say, honestly, are you aware that I'm SS? Guy say, really? You don't look like it. Ah, why didn't you tell me? And you call again. I'm busy. Genuine people are scarce. It's easy to be a fan when you have something. It's easy to attract fans when you have something to offer. But how many people can still embrace you when they see your scars? These are the genuine people that deserve to be your destiny associations. Hallelujah. And it has nothing to do with age. You will be amazed to see certain people you call childish and see the level of stability and maturity in their lives. Is that true? That's why there are some of you, when something happens, your parents come to discuss it with you. You are the last one. But they leave all the people and come to you. And they open up very deep issues. And because over time they have discerned your ability to be trusted. Say, Lord, make me trustworthy. How can there be so many people in this place and so little of us are trustworthy? We need to be humble before God. Many of us are born again, but we are not genuine. That pureness, that state of truism, that state of oneness, where you are sincerely genuine, no strings attached. I've said it here. There are many of us, when people want to do crafty things, you are the first person. If they want to arrange something, one guy said, I like this lady. He said, You see them all over. Once you look at their eye, you know that they can be invited in certain atmospheres. Every time trouble is about to ferment, here they come. They know how to be the catalyst to those things. If you are here and you are like that, you must stop. Whenever they are gossiping about somebody and the gossip is ready to go to the next dimension, that atmosphere breeds you. And you say, what? Ah, let me sit down first. Why are you guys standing? Sit down. Let's deal with this issue.
You have given yourself a ministry without any grace. Associations. If you are friends with a smoker for the first few months, you won't be smoking. Right? You will hate the atmosphere. Then it will graduate. You will not mind the atmosphere. You won't smoke, but you won't mind the atmosphere. The next time you say, bros, I beg, help me, just pass me St. Maurice there. You just put your hand and search down and pick it. Say, lighter, please. And it helps you. You are participating. Do you know that the Bible says Lot settled near Sodom? He didn't enter Sodom. He came close to Sodom. When the angel, when they came to rescue him, where did they find him? In the middle of Sodom. He settled near Sodom. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted. Am I right? Did I mix the scriptures? There are many scriptures in my head. Don't stand, don't walk, don't sit. The Bible used three positions. Don't stand. Stand in the way of the sinners. Sit on the seat of the scornful. That means you are in a place where they are scorning people and you just sit down. You are neutral. Let me tell you, you are not neutral. When you participate in advancing evil, there is judgment on you too. Hallelujah. One lady came to me one time and she was talking about a particular man of God. And she was lambasting that man of God and saying all kinds of things. Apparently she felt I would join her. I said, stop that. Don't you ever do that. Not in my presence. You don't come. I don't care what the man did. I may not be justifying what he did, but be careful. Be careful. Some of you, the reason why people keep coming to you to create those wrong atmospheres is because you've not stood on your feet to rebuke evil. When you do it once, he said, resist the devil and he will flee. There are some of us here, as gentle as you are, you don't tolerate nonsense. Nobody come. Your atmosphere is not an atmosphere of gossip and blunders. It's God speaking to us. I'm challenging you to change your atmosphere by changing your associations. Tell your neighbor, change your atmosphere by changing your associations. There are some of you, after this Koinonia meeting, you should send them a polite text and say, thank you. I appreciate you, but this is the distance of our relationship. Every time the man carries you in the jeep, something bad must happen to you. He will take you where you do not want to go. And because he's helping you with school fees, must he help you with school fees? What makes you think God cannot help you? All these prostitutes they show on TV. Why are you in prostitution? They say nobody to help me. And they keep attracting solidarity. How many people did they help in this life? People who struggle by themselves. No father, no mother. Somebody just gets and say nobody to care for me. And they say, yes, government you are seeing. But it's not government. It is their desire to destroy their lives. We must take responsibility for every part of our lives. From today, there are information. Some of you have been planning after Koinonia to go and gist about something. Zip your mouth. God wants to bless you. For as long as Samson kept the secret, he remained a mystery. But when he opened up the secret to a strange woman called Delilah, that was it. He said, cut your hair. It was a covenant that God made. It was the covenant of the spirit of might. But he threw away that covenant on the laps of Delilah. And she got up and told the people, yeah, give me my money. And the people came and cut his hair. A great man, all of a sudden, because he could not close his mouth. Silence cannot be misunderstood. You must know when to speak. And he got up, and all of a sudden, there was no strength. Notice what the people did. The moment they found out that they had captured him, they removed his eyes, not his hand.
Was it with his eyes he destroyed them? Because the eye is the light of the body. They looked for the source of illumination in his life and plucked it out. And he became a slave. Once a great man, now he was just pushing and grinding. And they stood before him to mock his God. Some of us have lost a lot of things in our lives because of the atmosphere that we have kept. You used to love God in true holiness and righteousness. Until one player came into your life. That player must go out this night in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going to send him an intentional, constructive text appreciating he's been in your life so far and letting the person know that you have had the word of God and you are determined to press into God. If you are embarrassed to do this, then you have demonstrated your willingness to remain at your current level. When Abraham started the journey, he never told the people where he was going. Even Isaac, there were certain parts of the information that were kept as secret. Is that true? It was revealed as they went. After 3 days' journey, he knew that these guys will stop him. Because of compassion. They'll say, maybe something has touched Oga's head. Let's help him so that he will recover. And he said, I'm not ready for that. Stay behind. We're ready to rise. And it was only him and his sacrifice. When he got there, Isaac started looking. Abraham kept these things. Was he a fool? No. You think Isaac would climb that mountain if he knew he was the sacrifice? Please answer me. Isaac was 13 years. Do you think he would just climb the mountain just like that to go and die? For what? And while he was going up, Abraham, Daddy, why are you moody? He said, God is faithful. Let's go. And he continued. When he got there, he just grabbed the guy and put him when they set the altar. And he said, son, I'm about to kill you. I'm sorry. If I told you, I have to obey God. When he lifted it, God said, stop. You kept this thing. As a father, you saw your child and you didn't even reveal it. He didn't reveal it to his wife. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. He didn't reveal it. Does that mean he does not love his wife? Was Abraham that even lied so that they won't carry his wife from him? He loved her. But there are certain things in life. There are some of us, there are certain information because of the emotional fragility of the women around our lives. Sisters, wife, husband, you keep silent first. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then it can come in bits and can come progressively. The way you can come to a man and say, somebody just died now. It may not be like that for a lady. If you learn that wisdom, you are great. Hallelujah. There are certain people, the best time to tell them a news is when it has happened. So they will just join in the celebration. But once you involve them in the process, they don't have the faith to believe with you. So they will discourage you. When Abraham was coming down, I can imagine Abraham going back and say, honey, come, sit down. I want to talk to you. The last 3 days have been days of war. She said, talk to me. Say, you know you would have lost your child today. Sarah will say, that's it. Isaac, you are going nowhere with your father for as long as I'm alive. See that? But that would have been disobedience. There are some informations that should not get to some people because they are too emotional to become part of your destiny helpers. They love your present too much. They will run away when you are going through the gates of the next level. They will beg you. Remember, they begged Jesus. They did a lot of things. Master, this and that and that and that. And Jesus left. Everybody ran away from Jesus. Only John the Revelator. He stood there. Said, if you are killing me, let me die on the cross there. All the rest. Even Joseph, his earthly father, ran away. I'm sure Joseph would have said, you and the rabbi that you had this child with, let him go and advocate for you. I don't have any papers to sign. I'm not guaranteeing any dead body. Even to find out what happened, the Bible never records that Joseph was standing there. Hallelujah. But Mary, she stood there. John stood there. Peter and all the people who spoke nonsense, they stood. Anyway, that's why when Jesus resurrected in John 21 from verse 15, he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than this? You want me to give you access to the deep things of the spirit. Do you love me more than that? And after that decision, Peter made up his mind and never denied him till he died. Till he died. There is a friend that can stick closer than a brother. Find that friend. Sister, any man who loves you just because of beauty, you are in for a rude shock. I repeat, you are in for a rude shock. Brother, a lady who likes you because you are a bubble or because you have money or because of this, you are in trouble. All kinds of nonsense we do, especially as young people. God is speaking to you. Check your association. And only give people who have earned the right. They have proven that they are men and women of genuine integrity. The gift of access. You have 18 prayer partners. According to the problem. Continue. The gift of genuine people. That you can have somebody in your life. That you know this is a friend. If you tell this sister, you can tell her, look, let me tell you something. This morning, this and that happened, and the sister can say, I love you. You know that. And it's from the depths of your heart. You are not afraid. Whenever you are there, you sense the atmosphere of truth. You sense the atmosphere, a genuine atmosphere. That when, come, I'm still using you. Sorry. Oh, they're snapping us. Praise God. That she can look at me and come and say, Apostle, this is the problem with me. I don't have a womb. No, that's not a testimony. I'm just giving. I don't have a womb. And I can look at her and say, don't worry. Jesus is able to do it. And not just that. I'm just saying, Jesus is able to heal you. This is trouble. Who is that guy that likes herself? I will call him now and say, please, so I need to see you because there's fire on the mountain. That I mean it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold the hands of your neighbor as you are seated and pray for him. And say, Lord, make my neighbor reliable. Pray for your neighbor. Integrity. Truth. Let my neighbor carry an atmosphere that blesses me. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Pray for your neighbor from the depths of your heart. I pray for you, say, you pray for you, and you pray for me. I love you, I need you to survive. I would harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, I need you. Take it higher. Pray for you. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. Hallelujah. Gain mastery. We are going to pray. There are three things I've communicated. One, that human beings have prophetic atmospheres and you must create cadres in your relationship. There are people who should only stay in your outer court. They have no business getting into your most holy place. There are people who you can have family associations with. Brethren, workers in your department. You can trust them with certain informations, but no further. But there are others. The friends that can stick closer than a brother. They will die with you. They are the Naomis. They are the roots. Your God will be my God. Your pain is my pain. Your tears, my tears. Your God is my God. May God give you the gift of those men in your life. Oh yes, your embarrassment is my embarrassment. Your joy is my joy. I love you. Whether men say what, I'm standing. That's what Ruth said. Oprah went away, but Naomi said, no way. As for me, I've made my choice. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. No strings attached. No strings attached. No strings attached. Don't get into that business of saying everything to everybody. From today, separate men into cadres. There are others who have no business hearing certain things about your life. Let them qualify for access. As they change, you can increase the access they have to your life. Don't tell everybody anything. You paid the price for the anointing. You don't give it at a platter of gold. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry just comes and says, what is the secret? And you say, sit down. No, sir. There are rules. There are rules of genuine impartation. Meet any man of God that is anointed. You just come and kneel down and think you receive of his anointing. You are playing. Oh, there are rules. Service. Loyalty. A track record of passion and integrity. Many sons of the prophet, but only one got his anointing. He was the only one who got access to the deep things. He saw chariots of fire. Hallelujah. And then we are going to pray for our mouth. Some of us, the control, everything you hear, there is pressure on you to say it to somebody. Whether it concerns you or not, you will be a bad wife that way. You will be a bad husband. You will be a bad leader. You will betray the trust of too many people. You must know when to be silent. There are some things that when they tell you, it should die there. And that's the end of it. Part of my personal development goals for next year is to be a man of absolute integrity. That's the personal goal. As I'm going for my retreat, my prayer, I want to, among other things, to be known as a man of absolute integrity. Not just integrity. And I'm going for a retreat to fight every force that will stop me from being a man of integrity. Are you that determined to be exceptional? Or you just want to be average? You wouldn't go far that way. Listen. Men who God give the gift of influence with people. There are some people here. I saw the way they used to respect certain men of God. But the moment they had uncommon access, there are people who came to my house once and I saw the way they behave. They are not invited again. If you invite them 5 times, one day they will look at you and slap you. No way. Study the response of people in the atmosphere of greatness. And it tells you whether they are invited again or not. Hallelujah. Our daddy is here, Prof. No matter what happens to me, I will never in my lifetime disrespect him. Some of you saw the CGC pastor's wife. She came, mommy greets me kneeling down. I still don't know how to quantify that kind of thing. Anywhere mommy sees me, she will kneel down. I say, mommy, don't do this. It's embarrassing. He said, I know why I'm kneeling down. And then I just stand up. I say, oh yeah, do it. Many of you, greatness stopped in your life when you violated opportunities for access. God took you to the presence of a great man and you messed up big time and the door closed. Tonight, the mercy of God is about to speak. Some of you had access. There are people in my life today, they will never have the kind of access they had. they compromise on the gift of access. Never trivialize access to uncommon people. Hallelujah. Sister, that guy was a man of God before you met him. Now that you are in a relationship, you've forgotten the dimension of the man of God. Stomach ache is killing you. There is somebody who can pray. You forgot that the anointing is there. Listen, I want you to know that men carry prophetic implications. There are some Jonas you should kick out of your boat this night. You've been carrying luggages. The day this person came into your life, your finance died. It died a natural death. Every door of favor has stopped. You need to check it. You need to check it. There is one friend you have. All kinds of names, they call themselves friends. Because of her presence, no man has come to get married to you. You will never leave that friend. A bad friend. Very nude, very indisciplined. Every time godly people are coming, they see her. She said, no, he's just my friend. Oh, show me your association. I can show you your mindset. Don't say it does not matter. If you see me today walking with a guy, listen. If you see me today walking with somebody that I tell you this is my right-hand man, in all sincerity, and I don't say this to be critical, and you see the person with all kinds of chains, tearing his trousers and all of that, something will happen, not because you have a problem against him. Something will happen to the honor. There is a standard. Many men of God sell themselves out cheap. It's better not to start some things than to do it later in the future. When God has established you, you now become a fool. Are you getting what I'm saying? Access. Sister, if you can keep your mouth, there is still hope for 2014. God can still change your story. I'm not talking of maritally. Every time God wants to do something, you are unable to keep quiet. You keep quiet and pray. You don't always need a prayer partner to pray, brothers and sisters. There are times the Holy Ghost must be your absolute prayer partner. Associations. Two scriptures and then we'll pray. Micah chapter 7 verse 5. Please look at this scripture. It will change your life. Micah chapter 7. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 21, 23. We'll round up with Micah. Proverbs 21 verse 23. We're going to pray. Proverbs 21 verse 23, please. God is changing somebody's life. From today, people will see you calm. Look, let me tell you something. Do you know that those who are calm in life are great leaders? Look at the pastors with the largest ministries in the whole world. They are calm people. Now, imagine that I get up and you now see me push the keyboard and climb and start climbing chairs and I'm just doing a lot of things. It may not be bad, but I guarantee you by next year, koinonia will reduce to half. Because a father who comes here says this, you see all this on serious. There is a level of stability. People come for counseling, parents, all kinds of people. Let me tell you why. It's not just because I'm anointed. It's because there is order and dexterity. There is a way you apply calmness to your life. It makes you an exceptional leader. Nobody wants to trust themselves to a foolish leader who is childish. He said, woe unto any city whose king is a child. It's not just age. Joash was the king of Israel at age 8. So it's not just speaking about numerical age. Stability. A man you can look at as a father. A man you can look at as a man. You can trust yourself and go to bed. There are few people like that. Even among us pastors. Even among pastors. Hallelujah. Even among pastors. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue. Do what? Look at the relationship between trouble and your mouth. Are you seeing it? The relationship between trouble and your mouth. There are some things that are not just demonic. You expose an information that has messed up your life. This is the Bible. It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth what? His soul from trouble. If you didn't keep quiet, they would not have involved you in that. If you kept quiet, sorry, they would not have involved you in that palaver. You went to make contributions where you are not needed. Learn to speak only when you need to. Somebody says something and is looking for your contribution, and you don't know that the person is recording it. Oh, bless God. It's well. It's well. We pray. Ah, is it just, what do you have to say about those things? I expect you to say something. It's well. God is faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. I'm talking about the example. We are not praying. That's what you should do. We bless you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Tosi. There is an issue they have brought before her. Lord, we know that she loves you. And you will see how angry the person who came to meet you is feeling at that prayer. Because they expected you to be a team. And all you ended up saying is, I reject your invitation. That's the kind of invitation you say back to sender. Because somebody wants to come and market their failure in your life. So that they will now take you together like the same fish in a net. And say, 1, 2, 3, 4. They are the people. And you hear those. See, anybody that talks about others to you is talking about you to those others. Know that. Know that for sure. Say, this one supplies me with information. You are joking. One day, the person will offend you. When that one day comes, the person will try to do something to pain you. So they will go back and say, I came to confess. Let me tell you. It was me and Jen that said, at least I'm confessing. Then the day they reconcile, human beings. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul. Last scripture, Micah chapter 7 verse 5. My God, this scripture blew me. It exploded me. Micah chapter 7. Everybody read. 1, 2, read. Ah. This is a very strange statement. You know, the Bible can throw nuggets that will frustrate you. Is there any other version? You don't have any other version. How can the Bible say this? It said, trust ye not in a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Oh, amplified. You don't have any other one. You believe in any other. Okay. Don't trust your neighbor. Don't confide in your friend. Watch your words, even with your spouse. Bible, not Joshua Selman. Your Bible. Now, this does not mean, it's trying to show you that there are certain dimensions that is just between you and God. There are some dimensions that is between you, God, and your wife. There are dimensions between you, God, your wife, and children. There are more people that know many things about our families than us, because our parents do not trust us. Don't trust your neighbor. Don't confide in your friend. Watch your words, even with your spouse. I believe this with all my heart. I'm not saying don't love God, but know what to say, when you should say it. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? We have 3 prayer points tonight. I'll give you the prayer point before you stand up. Prayer point number 1 is that we are going to flog it out and say, Lord, I've been an insincere person. I want you to make me a man or a woman of integrity. I found out that I can't be trusted. I am holy. I love God. But this trust, I don't. People cannot trust me. Not with anything. When they trust you with something, it's tantamount to disaster. We are going to pray. All of us will repent and pray from the depths of our heart. Imagine, for God's sake, that Koinonia is made up of people who are dependable, reliable, and genuine. Hallelujah. Number 2, we are going to pray and ask God that by his wisdom, he will take out of our lives every association that has brought any demonic atmosphere. Listen, human beings can carry curses and yokes, and I can tell you they can come into your life with those things and wreck and jeopardize your life. As individuals, they are innocent, but the atmosphere they bring carries a prophetic implication. Jonah is a prophet. He was used by God to save Nineveh. Yet, a wrong atmosphere that he carried. Some of you create your homes as a hub for the refuge of disobedient people. And so, what happens is it creates the atmosphere for your judgments too. The ark of God entered the house of Obed-Edom without prayer, without fasting. It brought an atmosphere of prosperity and increase. Prayer point number two. We are going to war a good warfare, friends. And number three, we are going to pray. Give me discipline over my life and my words. All this talking and saying everything to everybody. Lord, I receive grace. Set a guard over my mouth. I'm a leader. Let me know when to say what. There are things that the heads of department will never hear except the ministers. There are things that only the boards of this of trustees of the ministry know. There are revelations like that. Hallelujah. There are revelations that are only to the heads of departments, not revelations in terms of about the ministry, the blueprint of the ministry. When we are doing a general workers retreat, oftentimes we do retreat for the heads of departments, and their training is different. And then we do the general house retreat. There are workers in this place, but we don't meet every time. The leaders meet every week. There are things we discuss. Different levels. It's not to say people are not valuable. Honor all men, but don't give access to just everybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Very important. Rise up on your feet, please. I commend you to the word of his grace that is able to make you wise. We are going to pray. Please, I like us to pray. When you hear the word, you must water it with prayer. And when I say pray, I really mean pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. Say after me, Father. Please shout it. Father. In the name of Jesus. I declare that I desire to be a man or a woman of integrity. I declare that my life and my person must be dependable. I repent of insincerity. I repent of falsehood. I repent of ungodliness. And I ask you to help me. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. He who conceals his sin shall not prosper. For someone, this prayer is the secret of your prosperity. It's not too late. Oh, I repent. I repent. I'm born again, but not dependable. Pray. Friends cannot trust me. I've betrayed a lot of people. I've disappointed a lot of people. I've been the reason for the downfall of many. Innocent, but insincere. Innocent, but without truism, without genuineness. Make me genuine. Make me true. Inside and outside. Go ahead and pray. Pray. Humble yourself. See, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, repent of insincerity. Lord, I've taken for granted access to great people. They gave me access and I took it for granted. They gave me access and I betrayed their trust. They gave me access and I compromised on it. Pray.
Oh yes, I repent. I repent. I repent. In the name of Jesus, I repent. Don't be embarrassed. Pour out your heart to God. Lord, I betrayed my friend because I violated the gift of access. I repent. I repent. I'm not trustworthy. I repent. I'm a good Christian and I love you, but I discovered that I'm not trustworthy. Help me. Let me be genuine. Let my testimony be that of a man and a woman of absolute integrity, worthy of all loyalty. Are you praying, Koinonia? This prayer will attract the mercy of God. Listen, hear me. Hear me, listen. These are the kinds of prayers that attract the mercy of God. I have a teaching next year. Part of the lineups of the teaching is the mystery of God's mercy. Hallelujah. The mercy of God is not for sinners. The mercy of God is His bailout plan. When He said, rejoice not over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I will yet rise. When you come to the end of your life, that's not just the time for faith. Son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy is a language that automatically makes you innocent. Automatically. No matter what you have done, there is a prayer that no demon can stop. It's the prayer of mercy. That prayer, no power from Genesis to Revelation, no demon spirit stop the prayer of mercy. Mercy. Adeboye was praying one time in a pastor's conference, and for 2 hours, all he was saying was mercy. Mercy, Lord. You would think he doesn't know he's a new creation in Christ. There are the language of mercy. Use it today as your bailout. When men conclude about your life, come before God and say, Lord, humanly speaking, I'm over. But mercy. The moment you invoke mercy, they should clear the way for you because you must rise up. Men, pray 1 minute and say mercy. Pray. Oh, I invoke your mercy. I've permitted the devil to wreck my life because of ignorance. Oh, but tonight, mercy, mercy. Let the blood speak. The mercy of God can reopen a door that has been closed. The mercy of God is your bailout from every disaster. I assure you, no matter how bad things are, invoke the mercy of God. Son of David, have mercy on my family. It's true they are involved in witchcraft, but Son of David, let them not die like that. Have mercy upon my family. Son of David, have mercy upon my spiritual life. I want an encounter. My fasting cannot take me there. I've tried, but I invoke your mercy. Hallelujah. See, I like you to take advantage of this revelation of mercy I just shared. Use it all through this week and see the dramatic miracles. Listen, look at me. If Sam offends me and he acknowledges he has offended me, is there a need to slap him again? Mercy. Whenever you cry mercy, you are telling God, everything you say about me is true. Whether you call me, everybody that invoked his mercy received his hand. I'm showing you a cheap route to heaven. You dodge every foul power in the air when you invoke mercy. But when you stand and think it's my right, oh, I come boldly to the throne of grace, you will sit down there forever. It takes it. It says a contrite and a broken heart. I will not what? A contrite. When you break down and say, Lord, it's true. I made the mistake. I betrayed my friend. Lord, it's true. I've lived my life sleeping around. Lord, it's true. My spiritual life, I don't even read my Bible again. And Lord, I'm not trying to pretend. Every time I go for retreat, I don't just go and jump and say, give me power. I lie down like a baby and say, my father, scan the heart of this son of yours. And anywhere you find a reason where I have tied myself, show me mercy. This is the mystery. When you look at a man and think you have come, I'm teaching you something. When you come to the end of the road, where your faith does not work, where men lead you, start to invoke the mercy. There are some of our families, it's only the mercy of God that will bring miracles. Because the principles of the kingdom, they have violated everything. And if you walk just based on principles, they will never be rich. They are not titers. They are not faithful. But when you invoke mercy, you will see another supply of the grace of the Spirit. Some of you, all you need to cry is mercy over your spiritual life. The mystery behind the dying of your fire, you can't explain. Don't wait till you understand. Start crying mercy. Mercy. Prayer point number two. Lord, tonight, I cut away from every devilish association. I don't care who they are, they must leave. Every association that has made my life go down, please pray. They may be my friends. I push them out of my most holy place. I make a firm decision. I may be criticized, but I make a firm decision. I may be misunderstood, but I make a firm decision. Lord, I cut away every association, every Jonah in the boat of my destiny that wants to make me abort destiny. Every Delilah. Pray. Brothers, pray. Whatever you have attached yourself to, whoever you have attached yourself to, the atmosphere you have allowed, the advices you have received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You must consciously take steps. It's not enough to pray. Prayer supplies the grace, but you must take the steps. Some of you need to call that person and say, I love you. But sincerely, I will no longer be able to visit you. What we used to do, it will stop. I love you sincerely, but it must stop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, yes. I love you, but that shady business. That corny thing. I've been lying to my parents. I've collected money from them. I've done a lot of things. I lie and inflate school fees. You advise me. We have been eating that money together. This is a new season. It ends. He said, let him that sins, sin no more. Let him that steals, steal no more. Please, let me tell you something. Godliness is a big key to becoming great. I know that this sounds old school, but I am telling you, if you truly want to carry the fire of God in your life, godliness is not an option. He said, the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us to say no to all ungodliness. It can't be yes all the time, brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid of being misunderstood. Criticism does not kill. There's nothing as powerful as men criticizing you. Then eventually they understand. They respect you more. Try to defend yourself. He said, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head.
thou, O Lord, a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
That's what the psalmist said.
My glory and the lifter of my head.
When men misunderstand you, don't worry.
Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head.
As a pastor, don't give everybody access to your pulpit. By the grace of God, I say it. I've been criticized again and again why we don't bring men of God randomly. God gave me an instruction. And he said, until I permit you, don't do it. I can't go out and start explaining to everybody. But he said, well, I was not negligent to the heavenly call. It's better to be criticized by men and stay on course and keep producing the results than to try to impress men who will never be impressed. If you are not ready to stand alone, forget about greatness. You may need to be uncomfortable. Hallelujah. I never do anything God did not direct. I don't care how common or uncommon. It's one of the secrets of this ministry. There are times as leaders we are discussing a thing and I come up with a brilliant idea. Guys who are going to do this, ask them. Eventually they'll find out that the thing is just sealed. Because I went back and I checked in the blueprint. And God said, you are on your own. Every time you do what God did not direct, you won't back it up. Hallelujah. Final prayer point. Lord, there is a relationship between trouble and my mouth. There is a relationship between greatness and my mouth. I choose greatness. I declare that wisdom in the use of my words will keep me away from trouble. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I stay away from trouble. I stay away from trouble. I refuse to say what I should not say, to who I should not say to. Oh, give me wisdom. Put a girdle around my mouth to know when to speak to the right person. To know when to speak to the right person. To know when to speak. To know when to speak. I repent of being a talkative. Pray. I repent of being a busybody. Pray. Zakata pakata pradagada balaraba. Skapratokoto pradagate. Elakata proskoto pradeshate. Ekratoska padiataka proske. Eratakata balaraba koto prodagada balaraba. An uncommon person. Hallelujah. Hear me. Sister, God told you you will marry a man of God. Keep quiet. Hallelujah. Keep quiet. It's between you and God. Keep praying and building yourself. It's not for you to start going everywhere. I am mama. God said I will do this. And Mary kept these things. There is wisdom in knowing when to be quiet. There are times many of you go back and disappoint your enemies when they think you are coming to say everything as usual, and then you grow with your silence. You keep quiet. Hallelujah. There are some of us, they stop inviting you to minister when you could not keep your mouth. Everywhere you go, in 5 minutes, you are gathering everybody to share revelation. All you know has gone. None of them went in a convention. All the revelation you have, you sat down and you were just talking. And you were talking to very spiritual people and they kept looking at you. You think you were sharing rhema. And then later on, the person you saw keeping quiet when he came on stage, you just felt embarrassed for all the error you had been talking and you still kept quiet. Some of you go for meetings and before a man of God says something, you are correcting, you are talking, shut up. and you say it before somebody, ah, man of God, don't be so now. And the person is listening. And he goes to tell that man of God, learn to keep quiet. There are times people can make mistakes that you have the answer, still keep quiet. Restrain yourself. Restrain yourself. There are times people who say certain things, you have the solution, keep quiet. Daniel kept quiet until he was sent for. Joseph kept quiet until he was sent for. And the king sent for Joseph and they brought him out of his dungeon. It is noble to be sent for. When you come without being sent for, you are not valued. Wait until you are sent for. There are many of you, you have information that can change people. Your body is itching you. Wait till you are sent for. Don't try to look for solidarity. I'm advocating that I will become one of the prayer band leaders. And because of that, every time you see the escorts, you want to contribute. You know, while you were speaking, God was showing me this, shut up. You are not the only one. There are others who saw the vision of your nonsense when you came. They kept quiet and prayed for you. There are people like that. They come and interrupt church programs. A man of God is ministering and they are not leaders. They are not members. They are passing papers all around. Man of God, I'm seeing something I think I must share. See that. It's not, see, let me tell you, I don't reveal one tenth of the visions that I see. One tenth. Because I don't want you to build your understanding about the spirit on visions. So I keep quiet with it. When I come in and I sit down here, I cannot begin to tell. Sometimes you just see me typing on my phone and doing all of that. As I'm standing here ministering, I cannot begin to tell you. Sometimes I'm standing, I see into people's lives. You must know when to keep quiet. Spiritual people can be fooled sometimes. They want to say everything. Sister, I just looked at you, blah, blah. And you say things that you shouldn't say. Learn to keep quiet. That God showed you does not mean he said you should go and tell the person. He may have shown you to go and pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. One of my friends did something recently. I sent him to get me something. And he got something I didn't like, honestly. And I spent a lot of money asking him to get me that thing. When I found out he didn't like it, I said, if I call this guy now and let him know that he did this, I looked at the effect of my words on our relationship. And I said, no, this is a serious amount, but let it go. So that because he's a trusted person. I value his genuineness more than I value the money that was spent. I said, rather than doing this, I will sow it as a seed, what he brought, and then it will bring me returns and preserve the relationship. Do you know that there are times you need to keep quiet about some people's failures so that you will maintain your relationship with them? There are times God shows me certain things. When I'm giving word of knowledge here, I see a lot of things. You notice on the mic, and sometimes I just keep quiet. I'm rounding up. One man of God in Abuja caused, I'm sure some of you heard the story, when he came and wrecked a church into pieces. The pastor's wife had been involved in some sort of immorality or something. And the man came, prophet, accurate, but not wise. He could not guard his mouth. And he stood up, lambasted the woman, called the man she's having affairs with, described every kind of thing. And what do you think would happen to that church? Hey! Members, all kinds of people. It devastated that church, and still today, that church has not come back. Rebuke not an elder in public. The more sure word of prophecy controls your utterance, prophecy gives you wisdom. If God shows me something about daddy now, I will never, never to call daddy and say that. There are things, some of you here, God has shown me things and I kept quiet. I called you later personally and I spoke to you. This is what God has said. Correct this. Or this is what God has said. Continue. See, let me tell you. I have seen in my visions in this koinonia. Can I tell you something? I tell you, the most anointed people in this koinonia today are not yet known. They are here. It's not the ones on stage. I've seen it in the spirit. There are dangerously anointed people in this place. Accurate visions, accurate revelation, accurate flow of the gift of the Spirit. When you see them quietly,
Some of them are in departments. Some of them just come and sit quietly. While you are sharing nonsense, they are listening. You share John 3:16, they shout amen with a sincere heart to learn. But there are depths. There are people who travel. There are people who have come here from different places. There are people who travel from other campuses and other places. They don't come as fools. They come because something is driving them. And they keep quiet. Some of the greatest people I've met in my life, they were quiet. And when I met them, I began to speak with them. They wowed me. I was shocked at the mystery of God that was upon their mouth. Please regain your honor. Some of the things you have done has made you dishonorable. Regain your honor. The last prayer point we are going to pray. Say, Lord, restore my honor. Whatever my words have betrayed my honor. People used to respect me, but my words have made me cheap. Let there be a restoration. Restore my honor. Restore my glory. I've made a shipwreck of the dignity and honor that you have. Please pray. My head shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn, and I will be anointed with fresh oil. Restore my honor. Restore that horn of honor that was once upon my life. That when I spoke, men listened. Pray, please. Restore my honor. Let my words be expensive. Let my words be few. Let my words be worth believing. Hallelujah. There are people here who need to repent. Two categories will join them together. Number one, those who are yet to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And those who are here, you are saying, man of God, I want to make business with God. Second, there are people, now please, not everybody, I know we all pray, but there are people specifically, you want God to help you in the area of trustworthiness. Please, I know that there are many of us. There are people, it has become a particular challenge with fruits. Hallelujah. All those two categories of people, I'd like you to find your way and come and be on your knees here very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. You are here. Don't, if you are thinking about it, just remain there. I'm looking for genuine people tonight. Don't wait for anybody. Don't look at your neighbor. If you are coming, come. If you are not coming, be in an attitude of prayer. Yes, Lord. I want to be true to you. I want to be true. Some of you are sitting down when you should come out. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Don't tell lies. You have broken the heart of many people with falsehood. Come and kneel down before God and cry. Cry. Don't just kneel down for entertainment. Make sure you cry and talk to God. He gives us a new beginning. Sanctuary for you. You have made me a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true. I'll be a leader, sanctuary. Let's all sing it one more time. Lord, you have made me a sanctuary, pure and holy. Everyone pray. As I pray for them, you will join in prayer.
Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I break upon your life every atmosphere and every spirit that makes you not to be trustworthy. Everything that makes you betray the gift of access. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that it is broken right now. I speak mercy over your life. In the name of Jesus, where your words have gotten you into trouble, I pray that the mercy of God will bail you out. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the mercy of God speak. I supply grace. Grace. Grace from the fountain of heaven. Grace that from today you will be men and women of few words. That your words will all of a sudden become heavy and expensive. That your words will be trustable. That your words will be believable. I bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. You go back to your seat. Those who came out for new birth, I'd like you to just follow the usher if you came out for new birth. Otherwise, you can go back to your seat. Hallelujah. Let's quickly honor those who are worshiping with us for the first time. This is the first time you're worshiping with us here at Koinonia. We love you. What a night. Please make your way to the front. God bless you. Make your way to the front. There are people like that inside and outside. You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep coming. He brought you to change your life. You will never be the same. We honor you and we recognize you. That's why we're asking you to come. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Koinonia. Hallelujah. A meeting put together by Eternity Network International.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International or follow us on Twitter www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.